Here's the deal. You know, I have a cranky side. You got that by now, right? And I remember thinking, if I have to hear "Mary, did you know" one more time in my life, it would be too soon. That was the smoothest, richest rendition of that song that I've ever heard. That was so... really sophisticated stuff. We're so blessed. Okay, let's talk about life, shall we? And let's start out dark, just for the fun of it. You know, we've been talking about using the 12 steps, what traditionally have been called the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now there are 12 steps for all kinds of issues and things to heal. 12 steps are a potent program for any kind of spiritual practice, especially what we call the science of mind. The one thing, and the science of mind is a healing ministry, the one thing that needs to be healed most of all is our sense of separation from source. Everything in the human experience conspires to have us believe that I am this. This is my job, these are my clothes, you are my friends, and this is who I really am. This is what defines me. In reality, with a capital R, that is not who you are. You are something more, you are something greater, you are something eternal. And frankly, we become addicted to thinking that the me that I recognize is who I really am. And we spend a lifetime assembling stuff around us, things, means, and experiences around us, which keep trying to bolster that sense of me-ness rather than I am-ness. This is almost what I would call an addiction to living. Because you're eternal. That's not an article of belief for me. That is something that I know, that is beyond issues of disbelief and belief, but it is the knowing where I reside. No doubt some aspect of us was, some aspect, that eternal aspect, that connection to source is now renting this body space to have an experience here on this planet at this time. And when it is complete with that, it will go on to another experience, will cross another threshold. We become addicted to life itself and to the belief that I am this, rather than, as it is written in the Hindu scriptures, tatvamasi, which means I am that. Moses asks of the burning bush, who shall I say sent me? He says, say, I am that I am sent me. And so that is the I am that we really are. We forget that. And you have turned a corner. No doubt you've crossed a threshold where you are willing to explore what greater sense of yourself there might be in this world that is connected with source. When we do that, we start learning an awful lot of things and we start unlearning a lot of things. One of the things that's so critical to know that in this lifetime, our happiness, which is not kind of that Jerry Lewis, Jim Carrey kind of woo-hoo-ness, but a real contentment and delight with the way things are. That is what happiness really is. Our happiness exists in direct proportion to our acceptance of ourselves, to an acceptance of enoughness. Our unhappiness exists in direct proportion to the degree that we are addicted to any substance, any activity, anything, maybe even life itself. And so what we want to get back into right relationship is that sense of enoughness and our sense of being an eternal creature. When we remember that fully and embody that at every level of our being, we might say that we have been healed. This is what we're all seeking. The way to happiness and productivity, because if you're unhappy, you're never productive. Believe me, I know. But the way to happiness, which leads to productivity and creativity, is through being willing to enter into some kind of experience of self-awareness. To begin to be willing to do the work to see who am I, what do I really think, how is life working for me, and what am I doing to mess it up? Because all the teachers tell us that life should, I don't like to use the word should, but sometimes you gotta, should unfold in an orderly, organic, an abundant way. One of the few things from Emerson that I love to keep quoting is that we can learn everything we need to learn about successful living through the observation of nature. Nature is not only abundant, it is profligate. It is in the business of giving itself away endlessly. I don't know what a tree's consciousness really consists of, but we know that every living thing has some level of consciousness. We know that for a fact at this point, but it gives itself away entirely every year, trusting, as it were, that it has and it will continue to have all that it needs to survive the fallow time, and has the capacity to come forth yet again with a whole new array of things to give away. That is your nature too. That is your nature as well. These 12 steps, we've been going over them. I don't need to review them. We've gone 1 through 10. I want to talk about step 11 today. And I hope that I wrote this down. Behold the visual. Step number 11. I forgot to do this last week. Step number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, in quotes, as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. What was Al Franken's character? Stuart somebody? Stuart Smalley. Stuart Smalley. I like Stuart Smalley. I'm a member of a variety of 12-step groups. And you know, and people rarely address this. Rarely address this. And this is a key component of any kind of healthy, I always want to say creative, healthy, creative, productive, loving life experience that we can have, to maintain a commitment to our spiritual life through some kind of practice. Prayer we call treatment. Thank you. Your practitioner license is automatically renewed for next year. Treatment is affirmative prayer, knowing the truth about the way the world works. And meditation, being willing to be still. To be still. To stop. Boy, I'm just filled with all these images of crazy TV people. Now I'm thinking of Susan Powder. Stop the madness! How do you stop the madness? We must be willing to unplug. The internet didn't even exist when Susan Powder was doing her routine. My God, she'd explode like a poodle in a microwave if she had to deal with that. This point, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. What does that mean? What is the God of your understanding? In 12-step world, we call it your higher power. In Jungian psychology, we would call that the self in capital letters. That is exactly the same in the science of mind. To be willing to be open at the top to superconsciousness, something like that, that part of you that does not get discouraged, that knows that every effort is worth it because it accrues to wisdom. And that's no doubt it's one of the reasons we're on this planet. We have consciousness for a purpose, I guess, and it's to grow in wisdom and awareness. And then let us metaphysically interpret praying only for his knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. What could that possibly mean? It is not sitting around waiting for a vision. And I know I always will get in trouble for this because in every other New Thought Center, we're supposed to vision and we're supposed to ask spirit want how it wants to show up as us. And I do not believe that we were given powers of consciousness and imagination to be asking anybody anything, even if we call it a higher power, what we ought to be doing. Make a choice and be creative and astonish whatever spirit and whatever power there might be. Obviously, this is part of the plan. An orange tree only gets to make an orange. You can make any numbers of astonishing things and astonishing choices. Therefore, if I follow any kind of logic in the science of mind, it has to follow that I am here to express in some bizarre and unique way because it has to enrich the whole of consciousness everywhere. It must. So do it. Why then do we treat and meditate? To build the capacity of consciousness, to build the capacity of mind to be still, to sort out our best ideas from the not so good ones, to get back in touch with our most worthy ambitions, which are always going to be about expressing something that matters to you. And then having the energy and the knowledge that indeed it is worth it and the power to carry that out, to give ourselves to that. It doesn't matter what it is, but what matters is that we do it. This is the plan. I mean, this is how one lives according to a spiritual life. Not a religious life, because there is no dogma in the philosophy that we teach. And if you have religious practices that are a blessing to you and not a distraction, please continue to enjoy them if they are an enrichment to your life. Please do that. But in whatever form this takes, always be working on something. This is why we treat. This is why we pray. To always be working on something. If it's an immediate need, pray to handle it. If it's something new to create, direct your energy, clear your mind, reboot, whatever metaphor you want to use it. Get on with something new. Take on some new act of creation. This is how we express our divinity, friends. The formula is there in the very first words of the Hebrew Bible. God said, "Let there be light." What would you say? We don't need to invent light. That's already been done. What can I bring into this world by my word and my actions? Go ahead and do that. Keep reading always things that are uplifting. Of the tsunami of material that is available on the web, it can be, you know, and I am such a sucker. I fall for the things all the time about, you know, the 37 cutest cat photos on the web. Or the stupidest one that's on the web now. Gay actors who actually play straight people on TV. Do I click the button? God help me, I click the button to look and see who they are. What? Actors play roles. What's the issue with this? You know? At that moment, I simply say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And make another choice. Look at something else. There's an infinite number of good, enriching, amazing, and astonishing things to listen to watch, to read. And then keep one or two texts that matter to you. It doesn't matter what they are, but things that are touchstones for your worldview, for your belief system. Next, learn to focus, learn to be present. This is what the whole teaching of Buddhism is. In a nutshell, the whole teaching of Thich Nhat Hanh is, if you are cutting carrots, cut carrots. This is what practicing mindfulness is. If you are meeting somebody, look them in the eye and say, "Hello." Do not be looking over their shoulder. And say, "Hello." Greet them. Focus. Associate with people who share your values. This is so critical, and this is frankly the only compelling reason to gather on Sunday morning, is because you know that you will meet people that do not necessarily share your politics. That is not the same as values. But people who are committed to being a powerful, gentle, and positive presence on the planet. And people who are always working on something new. If I were going to play my Catholic nun card, I would say the only thing that you should be talking about in fellowship, the only thing, it's not saying how awful the movie was that you went to some screening about, the only thing you should be talking about is going up to your friends and say, "Tell me what your week was like, tell me what you want next week to be like, and how can I support you in that?" That is what fellowship is, because fellowship happens when we encourage each other on our journey. That is why we're here. I need to remind myself of that a great deal. I don't do that all the time. I'd like to. And the one thing that I would always add into any list of spiritual practices, be aware of wonder. Be willing to marvel. In some traditions, they call it beginner's mind. But don't take anything for granted. Delight in the rainy day. Delight in the sunny day. Delight in a hummingbird or whatever it is. Now I'm thinking about pizza. Delight in the pizza of your choice. And praise God that you can taste it. I had a friend who had an accident, a car accident, with a brain injury, and he lost his sense of taste. What do? Delight in the way things are. Be willing to be a marvelist. This is what it means to live a life according to spiritual practice. I say this every week. This is very simple. This is not easy. But it is very simple, and this is why we are here, to encourage each other on this so we would have an optimal experience of the gift that we're given, that is this lifetime. If I am wide of the mark, I know some of you love to call me on that, and you are welcome to do that. That's really okay. And be willing to do that for yourself. This is the greatest gift that you can give yourself. It really is. And if we do that as we approach this new year, I know that I want to encourage everybody to truly be thinking about the experience of this new year that they want to have. You know, you can start over again at any second. But there are energies that are around us which facilitate choice making, and they are motivating. So take advantage of this holiday energy that's around us right now and give yourself a gift of every day in the new year. God bless you, friends. I really appreciate you. Thank you.